Well, hey, everybody, this is Shel Holtz, and we are back for another installment of the NMR cast. That is the New Media Release Cast, which probably ought to be called the Social Media Release Cast, because that's what has been agreed to as the name of this beast. But since the podcast already has a name, I think we're stuck with it. But here with Chris and Brian. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Hanging in there.
Yeah, doing very well, and thankfully I'm not on the road for like 3 months straight as you are, Shel, so...
Yeah, I'm actually... By the way, I am coming to you from the Wyndham Hotel in Washington, D.C. Got here last night from New York, so...
Oh, wow. So you've got, what do you have, tomorrow and Friday ahead of you for another workshop?
Yeah, tomorrow. It's amazing. I've got tomorrow and Friday for another workshop. Then I was going to stay in D.C. and then fly to Atlanta on Sunday. Chicago I have to go to for another one. But it turns out that I've got a family event in Los Angeles. So Friday night I'm flying to Los Angeles, and then Sunday I'm flying to Chicago.
Well, we could have had dinner on Saturday night in D.C. I'm sorry we missed that opportunity.
Oh, you're going to be here, huh?
I will. I'm flying in on Saturday. We're doing social media club meetings in D.C. on Monday the 30th, and then, of course, heading to Boston for the Society of New Communications Research Symposium, and then also a social media club roundtable, although that's going to be one heck of a table with over 80 people already registered for the Boston event.
Yeah, I wish I could be in that.
Yeah, it's really been amazing just, you know, in the past 2 months how that's gotten picked up. But the thing is that it is a great opportunity for PR practitioners and bloggers and all the people impacted around this to come together and talk about the issues. And it's just a perfect sort of forum and an open roundtable event to do that sort of thing. So, in fact, tonight we're actually hosting a roundtable talking about disclosure. I don't want to get too far into all the stuff that came out of the Edelman and Walmart stuff in deference to your post the other day, Shel. It is something I think we all need to figure out, and there's some great lessons to be learned from what was done right and what was done wrong. And hopefully we can just all do that and try to prevent our clients from making some of those same mistakes in the future.
Yeah, I would like to see those mistakes not be made in the future, because I think it colors the entire profession. We are in a profession, and Brian, I'd like to hear what you think about this, where anybody does anything egregious and it taints the entire public relations realm that people say, oh, that's the way PR is.
I spend a lot of time having to deprogram prospective clients these days just from this and many other things that PR people do or don't do correctly, and this one just makes it a little bit more visible and tough to keep those that dialogue going. And I hope we all learn from this, so that way the industry in general can take some best practices and actually do a little PR for the PR.
Yeah, that's something that the PR industry isn't real good at, is it, doing PR for itself?
No, not terribly.
No. This was one of the topics in our workshop on Monday that kept coming up, Brian, was the idea of actually of the authentic engagement, which is what I believe you were getting at with some of your announcements from the other day, Shel, is that, the idea is to be a participant in the conversation, not to be talking to people, not to be trying to control the message. And more importantly, to what Lisa Stone was talking about the other day, is about not trying to deceive people, to make it clear who the people are who are doing the talking, to make it clear what the intentions are of those people and why they're actually, blogging or writing or podcasting or doing whatever it is. And that one of the responses that she received to a thread over on Blogger that I'll send you the link to, Shel, so we include in this, was that, the people felt duped. In fact, there was one woman who was a reader of that particular blog that will not be named right now, who was really enthusiastic about it and very excited and felt connected with the couple who was writing across the country. And her response was, "I feel like a rube," and that I was duped.
A rube, I like that.
Yeah,
I know that we got to get into some discussion of the social media release here eventually, but there may be people listening who aren't aware of what we're talking about.
Good point. So in short, what happened was that, well, gosh, I don't even know where to start, but there was a blog called Walmarting Across America, which featured a man and a woman in an RV traveling across the country and stopping in Walmart parking lots to camp their RV overnight, which apparently is a very prevalent practice in the South. And something
and
Walmart
also something, by the way,
allowed.
That Walmart does allow.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And but all the stories that were being posted about the interviews with this couple and the people they met at Walmart were all fairly rosy in nature. There wasn't anyone complaining. And in fact, it turned out that this was being sponsored by an organization called what is it, Working Families for Walmart?
That's it.
Yeah.
And Working Families for Walmart turns out to be run by Edelman Employees, which is the PR firm for Walmart at the time. And while we're still not clear exactly what happened because no one's really come clean on the whole story, the end result was that it was being sponsored and paid for by an organization that was being paid through Walmart, which was the Edelman PR firm.
And
is that the short summary?
That, well, that's a short summary, and we can add that shortly after that, the Edelman organization decided to reveal that they had two other Walmart blogs that were being written completely by Edelman employees. One of them was the paid content
paid
blog.
Critics.
And the paid critics, that's right. Paid content is another one. completely separate. But it's been a lot of travel, Chris. And the other one was the Working Families for Walmart blog itself. And now there are bylines on the posts, and if you click on those bylines, it takes you to a brief notice that says that that person is an employee of Edelman.
Yeah, so this really, you know, at the time I was actually working on a on something around disclosure because I saw Nick Carr's piece on Mike Arrington talking about a glass house and the issue of disclosure. And it's something I've been thinking about. And in fact, I wrote a post on Social Media Club people can check out because I do think about it every day. When we work inside this industry, there are some insights that we come up with that are kind of generally applicable to anyone in the industry. And then there are some things that we come up with that are maybe more specific to a client. And when some of those things come up while we're actually, you know, doing billable hours, I'm always hit with that question of, you know, can I disclose this? Is it, you know, possible? And then I end up going, well, should I disclose it? So it is something that really hits me every day. I don't know. What's your perspective on that in terms of your interface with disclosure?
Well, yeah, the demand these days is for transparency, and transparency is just a synonym for honesty. And I don't see that there's a lot of room anymore for hiding your identity when you're representing a client. I'll go one step further. I don't even like it when a public relations representative speaks for a client, you know, as the spokesperson.
I agree. And in fact, even to that point that there are certain people out there that we've run into out there in the community who have asked me the question again and again, who are just getting into blogging, you know, at the different events and whatever. And they go, well, what if I write a post for my client and they say it's okay? And I'm like, you know, it's just not the authentic voice of the person who's taking the byline credit.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of gray area out there because, you know, this is something that the PR practitioner has done for clients for years. So
it's part of the
traditional process. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we still need to figure out. That's what it comes down to, really. And hopefully we're going to be able to do that together and come up with some guidelines that or take the WOMA guidelines another step or two further.
So what's going on with the new media release?
Oh, man, what's going on? What's going on is that we've been very busy the last week, and I'm a week behind. we had hoped to actually get out to the general community last week a deliberation process for actually addressing some of the requirements that the working group had come up with on the nature of what gets included in a social media release. And unfortunately, just everyone involved, myself, Todd Van Hoosier, Brian, we've all gotten completely swamped with other things because everyone's getting spread too thin. So apologies aside, it looks like I actually do have time this weekend, and we are going to be launching over the weekend and or perhaps Monday morning, depending on how Saturday goes. socialmediarelease.org, which will be a site where we'll start sharing best practices and members of the working group, and certainly anyone else out there who has some things that they want to contribute, we can get some guest accounts set up on to add to the blog and have this be a repository for all the best practices that are out there on the social media release. And the first post that will be up there will be the requirements that we have discussed and kind of determined are really the key requirements that we want to have at the heart of the social media release for this first version. And then next week at the Society for New Communications Research Symposium, I'll be doing a brief talk on those requirements at lunch and kind of presenting that in what we hope to be a near final form, but without the amount of discussion period that we had hoped, we're probably going to need a little more time to get to something tangible out of it.
Sounds great. So that's progress.
It's progress, but unfortunately it's slow. And, you know, that's the typical issue with standards bodies along those lines is that when you've got people doing it part-time and contributing in addition to their day job, that there's just so many other things that need to get done and that these processes often take a little longer to get everyone's feedback and input on. And we're just kind of fighting those same sort of problems. But we're continuing to move forward in it.